Amen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11. We're going to finish up the teaching on Israel in this whole series. We have been teaching about Israel for the last three or four Fridays. This is the fourth one, yeah. Last three Fridays where I cover the mystery of Israel, Romans chapter 9, last week Romans chapter 10. All are so important and the must-known scripture concerning Israel. What I'm going to do is this. Today I'm going to cover through Romans 11, the final chapter about Israel. I'm going to run through, just going to wrap up by giving you some basic foundational understanding of Israel. Okay, I need to wrap it up so that we will have a correct understanding about Israel. If I have time, I'm going to talk a little bit about the book of Revelation. Then we're going to close up in prayer. Okay, so turn with me to Romans chapter 11. Again, let me just share a few purpose for teaching on Israel, because we need to understand the reason why we need to understand Israel and the goal that we want to produce after this 3-4 days. I don't think that after this, not 3-4 days, 3-4 Fridays of teaching, I don't think at the end of this 3-4 Fridays of teaching, we may fully grasp and understand about the mystery of Israel, but our goal is to have that apostolic burden create within us, which is what Paul talks about in Romans 9, 10, and 11. There are three reasons why we need to know Israel, and there are three reasons why we are teaching about Israel. Firstly, it's so important for us to have correct and biblical understanding of Israel. We need to have a correct and biblical understanding of Israel. I say correct as well as biblical understanding. First of all, is we know that Israel play a huge role in the last days. That's why we need to know. Israel will be a key player in the last days. Israel will be a major player of God in the last days. That's why we need to have a correct and biblical understanding. Not based on our own opinion, not based on sentimentalism, or I always call it romanticizing over Israel. But what does the Bible say, and what is the heart of God? Because if we base on our opinion, we will always get it wrong, because our opinions are subjective. We will end up either totally pro-Israel until we are blinded to certain issue about Israel, or we can swing to the other extreme where we can be totally anti-Israel, that we will develop that anti-Semitism which the Bible talks about in the last days. Turn with me to Romans 9. Verse 1. That's where Paul talks about understanding of Israel has to be based on the truth of God. It has to be on the truth of God. In fact, I shared two Fridays ago, I'm not even talking about dreams or vision. I'm talking about the written word of God, the Logos. It has to be based on the very written word of God. What does the Bible say? Both the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. I think Romans 9, 10, 11 will lay for us the very basic and the very important foundation about this mystery of Israel. In fact, my challenge and encouragement to each and every one of us is go back and go deep in Romans 9, 10, and 11. I know many of y'all say that, Kichar, everything has to go deep. Song of Song, the book of Revelation, now Israel. Yeah, basically everything, but let's take our time. But we need to. This is a bread and butter issue for the house of prayer. We need to have a correct and biblical understanding, because it cannot just based on zeal or passion. Zeal and passions are good, but zeal and passions that is not based on knowledge or correct understanding can always lead us into wrong conclusion. That's what basically happened to the nation of Israel. They had great zeal for God, but their zeal is based on wrong knowledge. That's why right now, many of them are still unsaved. They have great zeal for God, without a shadow of doubt, because Romans 10, verse 2 says this. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 2. They have great zeal for God, but it's not based on knowledge or the truth of God. That's why currently, as a nation, they are being rejected. It's the same for us. We can apply the same principle unto our understanding of Israel. It must not be based just on zeal and passion. It has to be based on the very truth of God. Romans 10, verse 2 says this, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." You know, both are not mutually exclusive. Both are as important. If you have truth, but you have no heart, it's as deadly. That means you're basically cold, indifferent. But you have passion, you have zeal, but there's no knowledge. That can always lead to all kinds of wrong practices, which the body of Christ around the world, we do, not just pertaining to Israel, but many, many things. You always have to base on the truth of God. Not just Israel, but anything about God has to base on the truth of God. That's the first reason. The reason we are teaching about Israel is we need to have a correct and biblical understanding of Israel. You know, this just last 3 or 4 Fridays, as I just spent time going deeper on Romans 9, 10, and 11, I learned so much. And I realized that I do not know so much, but yet I discover something. At least it created in me a greater burden and understanding for the nation of Israel, which is excellent. The second reason, we are teaching Israel because God has a great zeal for Israel. God has the great zeal for Israel. In fact, if you read, I won't turn to the verse because I mentioned it many, many times. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 14, and Zechariah chapter 8, verse 2. God is not neutral about Israel. He is not. If you know the scripture, God is not neutral about Israel. He has great zeal for Israel. He has. If God has great zeal for Israel, we must have great zeal for Israel, because it's not an issue of pro-Israel or anti-Israel. It's an issue of pro-God. If God is pro-Israel, we have to stand with God. That's why I taught it many, many times. In fact, God is using Israel as a litmus test of standing with him or against him. And God has a great zeal for Israel. And that's where we need to learn about Israel, so that we too have zeal for Israel. Zeal will lead us to intercession. Zeal will lead us to standing with her in the last days. Zeal will lead us to bringing the gospel to the Jewish people, especially right now. That's why we need to have a correct understanding, or else we will always be passive. That's the second reason. The third reason, the scripture is very clear. Tell me Isaiah 62. And one of the main reasons why I'm teaching over these last 3-4 days, because I pray that through these few Fridays of teaching, it will stir up in us that burden to intercede for Israel. I will be the first to confess that we haven't prayed a lot for Israel. We do. Once in a while, we do pray for Israel. We do stand in the gap interceding for Israel. But by and large, I wouldn't say a lot. The main reason is because, no, it's nobody's fault. We are growing as a house. The main reason is because of the lack of understanding and lack of knowledge. Because lack of understanding and lack of knowledge will always lead to hesitant, and we will not pray a lot. That's why we need to teach more, talk more about Israel in the context of end time and God's plan for her in the context of second coming of Jesus, that we will throw more of ourselves in praying for Israel. Isaiah 62. Turn with me to Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. Actually, I won't use the word sad. I'm surprised by, generally they are very, I would say this. Generally there's very few objective teaching about the nation of Israel. Either very pro or anti. I'm also very surprised. I have not been able to find a really, I'm not saying mine is good, mine is far off, a really good teaching about Israel based on Romans 9, 10, and 11. Basically, most of the teaching is people picks up verses all over Romans 9, 10, and 11 to substantiate some cases. I'm not saying it's wrong, but that do not help us to see the full picture and the totality of what this mystery of Israel is all about. But when you run through 9, 10, and 11, verse by verse, line by line, and in the right context, you begin to realize what it is all about. That's what we need to study more, throw ourselves more into Romans 9, 10, 11, and pray that God will grant us an understanding. Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. The third reason why we are teaching the mystery of Israel, because it is the mandate of house of prayer to pray for Israel. If you are called to be the house of prayer, we have to pray for Israel. Because God mandated it for the house of prayer to stand in the gap, to pray for her until she is established. That means until Jerusalem returned rightfully unto Israel. Now not fully, but not just this aspect, but also until the whole nation of Israel return to the Messiah. Isaiah 62 verse 6 say this: it's God's resolve. I mean, this verse is about God's resolve to raise up the house of prayer, but it's also God's resolve that there will be watchmen on the wall interceding for the nation of Israel day and night, night and day, without ceasing. That's why one of my zeal and passion really pray that we will have a 24/7 house of prayer. That's 84 slots. We will dedicate some slots and we call it J-Hop. I mean, 84 slots, you can have all the hop. J-Hop, I-Hop, S-Hop, let's shop. Singapore House of Prayer. That means you're praying for Singapore. Or J-Hop, Jerusalem House of Prayer. Or whatever. C-Hop, China House of Prayer. And so on, so on. China House of Prayer, chop. Yeah, sounds so funny. Chop, shop, job. No, but that's not the point. The point is, we need to learn more about Israel because it's the mandate of a house of prayer to pray for Israel. And we need to know so that we will intercede it correctly. That's why last week, you know, we do understand a little bit about Israel in this house, but we do not have the full understanding. That's why whenever we do apostolic, we sing round and round, we don't go very far. Because we have not fully grasped and understand this mystery of Israel. We need to come back so that we understand. Isaiah 62, verse 6 says this: I have set watchmen on your wall, O Jerusalem. It's like God telling Israel, don't worry. I have put up watchmen on the wall, and they will give me no peace, day and night, night and day, interceding. Until, verse 7, and give God no rest till he establishes, till he make Jerusalem a peace on the earth. Is Israel a peace now? At peace now? Not at all. Israel will never have peace until the Prince of Peace come back. So we got a long way to pray. We got to keep praying. No, I say long way to pray. It's not like a lament, but it's like an exhortation that we need to pray for Israel. That's why we are teaching about Israel. And I pray that we will continue to study and go deep and understand about this issue about God's heart for Israel. And it's not just developing knowledge in our mind. But my prayer is, as we go deeper, as we press in, may God produce an apostolic burden in us for Israel. That is the whole point of Apostle Paul when he teaches Romans 9, 10, and 11. He prayed that as he teaches about the mystery of the Israel, the Gentile church were developed, I mean by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Gentile church were developed an apostolic burden for Israel. You know, this apostolic burden, I'm convinced, okay, I don't have time to build on it, I'm convinced it's not an option for the end-time church. All end-time church must have an apostolic burden for Israel. Because if we believe that Israel is going to be a litmus test in testing whether we are with God or against God, We need to have an apostolic burden for Israel. I share many times. Now, at the scale of 0 to 10, I'm probably at 1.5. That's not too bad. A few years back, I'm probably minus don't know how many. I was on the verge of a little bit anti-Semitism because of hearing wrong teaching. But by the grace of God, I have a little bit more apostolic burden for Israel. But our heart, as we study more about Israel, is let's pray that God will give this house an apostolic burden for Israel. There are three things about Israel. Turn with me to Romans 9, verse 2. Romans 9, verse 2. There are two apostolic burden and one fascination about God. Because if you really understand the mystery of Israel, it must produce a few things. One is you must have an apostolic burden for Israel. Romans 9, verse 2. Romans 9, verse 2. That I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Paul said, if you study these three verses correctly, it's not just because it's their countrymen, but because of that empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Because verse 1 says that, bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. It's by the impartation of the Holy Spirit that there is an apostolic burden within Paul for the nation of Israel. Romans 10, verse 1, which I shared last week. And this apostolic burden has to lead us to intercede for the salvation of the nation of Israel. You know, what we can do the most right now for Israel is really standing in the gap for her. We need to stand in the gap for her. Romans 10, 1. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. The apostolic burden have to lead to intercessions. No, I'm not just talking about, today is J-Hop's time. Because there is still schedule and routine. But really, our heart grieve. No, I'm not saying you have to come to the mind and cry father, cry mother. But you pray with a burden. You want the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, their eyes to open that they may recognize Jesus as their Messiah. Just like when we pray for our father and mother who are not saved, our heart grieves that because we don't want them to go to hell. It's the same for Israel. And it has to be a supernatural impartation, or else you'll always be sentimentalism and romanticizing. That's good. But that's not the intention of God. The intention of God is impartation by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's a third apostolic burden. Actually, it's the second one. The second one is to teach the mystery of Israel to the Gentiles. We have to, more and more. That's why we have to pray that God will raise. No, first of all, we need to have a correct understanding. Secondly, we will become the voice of God to teach on the mystery of Israel. Because understanding the mystery of Israel and wrong understanding of mystery of Israel among the Gentile church is an issue of leading them closer to God or further away from God. That's why this is one of the apostolic burden of Paul. He said in Romans 11, verse 25, "Oh, brethren, I do not desire that you should be ignorant of this mystery." That is another of his burden. And that's the reason why he wrote Romans 9, 10, 11, because his burden is for the Gentile church to understand. No, it's so important for Gentile church to understand. It's not just the issue of that. You may lose your salvation. But the Gentile church needs to understand our calling and our role in the last days to provoke Israel to jealousy. Just like the gospel came from where? The Jew. Now the gospel is with the Gentiles. But the Gentiles' call our responsibility right now is to provoke Israel to jealousy so that Israel will call upon the name of the Lord. This is what Paul talked about in Romans 11. And usher in the second coming. Without the nation of Israel, Jesus cannot come back. He cannot. It's true. Without the church become mature, Jesus cannot come back. But without Israel coming to salvation of Jesus, Jesus also cannot come back. That's why the role of the church really is to provoke Israel to jealousy. That's what Paul talks about in Romans 11, which we're going to run through it tonight. It's a mystery. I mean, it's a great mystery. The more you think about it, the more you can't figure out. The more you say, wow, God, you are great. You are awesome. How do you even figure out this thing? It's like, gospel go to Israel. Israel become disobedient so that the gospel will go to the Gentiles who are, firstly, disobedient. Then now Gentile who is obedient will provoke the disobedient so that the disobedience will come to the obedience of the gospel. And God causing everybody to be obedient through disobedient. Wow. Talk about confusion and concussions. That's the whole mystery of Israel. Turn with me to Romans 9. Let me just run through briefly. Again, Romans 9, 10. Then I'll go a bit more in depth in Romans 11. Just want to run through briefly. Just do a little bit of review and recap because it's so important for us to know. Okay, I run through Romans 9 and 10 over the last two Friday in great detail because this I share again and again. Romans 9, 10, 11 probably is the most important teaching and the basic foundation doctrine about Israel. It's a must-known passage of Scripture concerning Israel. You don't even need to be the expert. You want to know Israel, you need Romans 9, 10, and 11. It's a must-known. Romans 9, 10, and 11. Romans 9, 10, and 11. Basically, Paul addresses three issues pertaining to Israel. I'm going to run through briefly. I'm going to focus on Romans chapter 11. Romans 9. Turn with me to Romans 9. Paul actually addressing the issue of the divine election of Israel. He start off by setting this whole matter straight. It's about election and why Israel is being elected. Okay, please get this straight. Romans 9, 10, 11 is never about issue of individual salvation. It's an issue of national election. It's about a nation. That's why it's a little bit complex. The issue of national election is more complex than individual salvation. But Romans 9, 10, 11, Paul is addressing the issue of election of a nation, not individual salvation. Okay, let me just run through briefly Romans 9 so that again we are reminded, and also when we go back we read, we can have a greater understanding and clearer understanding. Romans 9 verse 1 to 3, I call it the apostolic zeal of Paul for Israel. It's so important, so good for you to read and pray that Holy Spirit will impart the same zeal unto us. Romans 9, verse 1 to 3. Apostolic zeal of Paul for the nation of Israel. Romans 4 and 5. Verse 4 and 5, chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. The eight divine call or eight divine entrustment of Israel. That means the eight calling that God has for the nation of Israel. This is so huge. We need to know all eight because we realize that at the end of the day, we are grafted in because nothing comes from the Gentiles. Everything comes from the Jew. We are grafted into the olive tree, which is itself is the nation of Israel. The root is the Jewish root and our Messiah is a Jew. So we need to understand that. The eight divine call. You know, many Gentile church teaches this. God make an old covenant with nation of Israel. God make the new covenant with the church. It's totally off. Even the new covenant God make with Israel, read Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Romans chapter 9, verse 4 and 5, basically is about eight divine entrustment God has for Israel, or eight divine call of God for the nation of Israel. And it's not, God has not revoked these eight calls. If you read Romans 11, God said the call of Israel is irrevocable. That's why we need to understand, because many people teach this. Oh, because Israel has not received the Messiah, the church has replaced the call of Israel. It's totally untrue. In fact, this is called a replacement theory, which comes from the very pit of hell. The church has never replaced the nation of Israel. Never. I got to turn the page. You don't have to. Verse 6 to verse 9, chapter 9. Verse 6 to verse 9. Paul addressed the issue of Israel's presumption that leads her to be rejected. Okay, there's a reason why Israel is rejected. Okay, I'm going to address the mystery of blindness that's preordained by God. Partly it's because God preordained for Israel to be blinded. That's why it's called the mystery of Israel. But there's a reason. There's another reason why Israel is currently being rejected. That's where Paul addressed in verse 6 to verse 9, chapter 9, the presumption of Israel. They have a certain presumption that caused them to be rejected right now. But of course, if you read Romans chapter 11, God promised that in the last days, Israel is going to be grafted back in to the kingdom of God. Okay. Verse 10 to verse 18, Romans 9 again. Verse 10 to verse 18, Paul built on this issue of election. Basically, he's addressing the issue concerning Israel is election, not based on merit, not because Israel is any better. Now, that's why we must not have this romanticizing about Israel, because many people say, wow, Israel. It's like Israel is God. I always say this. Israel is special because God chose her. It's not because God chose Israel because she is special. It's the same. We are like a filthy wreck. We become special when God chose us. Israel is special because God chose her. That's what Paul is trying to address. That is an issue of divine election. That's why Israel is special right now, because God called her. In fact, there's a difference between calling and position-wise, because I can't remember who was asking me, hey, that's unfair. Israel is being called. Does that mean that Israel is greater? No. It's just that she's called by God to bring salvation unto the nation. But in terms of God's love for Israel and God's love for the Gentile church, is the same. Israel is not first-class citizen and we are second-class. We are all same class. There's no first-class citizen and second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. God loves us the same as God loved Israel. This is the issue of divine election. Verse 19 to verse 23, Romans chapter 9. Verse 19 to verse 23, Paul addressed the issue of personal responsibility and God's sovereignty. That basically he's trying to say that there's a reason why Israel has fallen, which I talked about it. I took great pain to explain what is vessel of honor, what is vessel of dishonor, vessel of wrath, and vessel of mercy. If you read carefully, Israel is partly responsible for her rejection. Basically, Paul is trying to say, don't blame God. We don't understand how God worked this thing out, this sovereignty of God. But at the end of the day, Israel is partly responsible. And go right until the end of the chapter, basically Paul talks about, because of Israel's rejection, salvation has come to the Gentiles, and the fall and the rejection of Israel is due to her self-righteousness. That's why she stumbled. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 9 is about issue of God's divine election for Israel. Romans chapter 10 is the issue of, Paul is addressing the issue of Israel's current election. No, current rejection. Why Israel is being rejected? Basically, he addressed three issues, which I'm going to run through quickly so that I have time to dwell on Romans 11. He addressed three issues about Israel's current rejection. Romans 10, verse 1 to verse 13. Paul gave the reasons for Israel's rejection by God currently. Okay, currently. He basically gave the why Israel is being rejected at the moment. Okay, at the moment. You know, if you read Romans chapter 1, chapter 10, verse 1, it tells a huge story about Israel. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 says this: "Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." You know, if you study this verse, you read this verse on the surface, it seems like basically pray for the salvation of Israel. But if you study deeper, there's a greater issue about Israel. Basically, Paul is not just asking us to pray for the salvation of Israel. Paul is asking us to pray for the Jewish people so that they know that they have a need for salvation. See, the problem of Israel is not just because they didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. The problem for Israel is that they don't think they need salvation. That's why Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul is saying that when you pray for Israel, pray that they will recognize that they need salvation. Because Israel thinks that they are saved because they are the sons of Abraham. That's where Paul gives the reasons that, hey, you are not saved based on circumcision. You are saved based on faith in Christ. That's why Paul gives the reason. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 13. The reason for Israel's current rejection. Verse 14 to verse 17. Verse 14 to verse 17. Paul addressed the remedy for rejection. How Israel can come out of this rejection. Basically, we have to preach the gospel to her. It's so crucial. And the third thing, verse 18 to verse 21, Paul addressed the issue of, as a result of Israel's rejection. What happened because Israel is being rejected currently by God? We all know, because Israel has rejected the Messiah, as a result of it, the gospel has come to the Gentiles. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 21. I'm going to start from Romans 10, verse 21 to go into Romans 11, which talk about Israel's future restoration. After talking about election, rejection, now Paul is going to address Israel's future restoration. Because Paul is trying to tell the Gentile nation, hey, God has not totally or fully write off Israel. God still has a plan for Israel. And he wants to address the issue of future restoration of Israel. And we need to know because it's about us. Because we, Gentile church, has to play a major role. Major, major role. But before we even play a major role, we need to have a correct understanding. So that we will not write off Israel, neither do we become cocky. Because one of the reasons why Paul addressed this issue in Romans 9, 10, 11, because cockiness, or rather haughtiness, is arising among Gentiles during Paul's time. Because they look at the Jewish people, wow, they are the chosen people. They're falling away. Now we are grafted in. We have kind of replaced Israel. Sounds like some of the body of Christ in not Singapore, around the world, isn't it? Where we advocate that the church has replaced Israel. That's where Paul addressed this issue, saying that, hey, don't be cocky, but fear. Because your cockiness will lead you to arrogance. Arrogance will lead you to passive resistance. Your passive resistance will lead you to... passive is what? After passive is... active resistance. And active resistance will lead you to anti-Semitism. And anti-Semitism will finally lead you to the loss of your salvation. That's where Paul brings up this issue. Romans 11 is about us. It's so crucial. Okay, Romans chapter 10, verse 21. Romans chapter 10. After talking about Israel's rejection, somehow God leaves that door ajar, giving Israel that glimpse of hope. He said this, Romans chapter 10, verse 21. Actually, basically, Paul is quoting from Isaiah 65, verse 2, okay, which reveal God's heart for Israel. Because talking about rejection, everybody's like, oh boy, that's it. Final. No chance. And then Paul said, wait, let me tell you this. He quote Romans chapter 10, verse 21. He said this, he quote Isaiah 65. Verse 2, he's quoting from Isaiah 65, verse 2. It's the heart of God for Israel. He said this, but to Israel, he says, all day long, I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. It's like God saying this, there is still hope. I have not given up on my people. All day long, I stretch out my hand, hoping that they will turn and reach out to my hand so that they will be restored and they will return to me. That's where Paul began to talk about Romans 11, which is about Israel's future restoration. We need to understand Israel's restoration. The Bible is very clear that, especially in the Old Testament, actually it's more in the Old Testament, the Bible is very clear that Israel will be restored. But in fact, we as a Gentile church, we need to understand there are two aspects of Israel's restoration so that we can pray right, so that we know how to stand with Israel. There are two aspects to Israel's restoration because it's more than just praying for her spiritual salvation. I think that is very important. That's crucial. But there's another aspect. Bible talks about two aspects of Israel's restoration. One is restoration to the land. Two is restoration to her faith. That means she will return to her Messiah, Jesus Christ. They call it Yeshua, Hamashiach, or something like that. Yeah, I'm not Jew, so I'm not very good at that. There are two aspects. We need to understand there are two aspects. So that when we pray for Israel, we are not just praying for one aspect either, but we need to pray for both. Restoration to the land and restoration to her faith. Turn with me to Ezekiel. This is what Romans 11 is all about. We need to fully understand because the unique thing about Israel is different from the church. Israel is forever a nation of God. Get that right. Turn with me to Ezekiel 36. I haven't finished my statement. Turn to Ezekiel 36 first. Israel will forever be a nation of God. Her call is to be a nation chosen by God. And because she is called a nation, she has a land. Which nation has no land? Then it's not much of a nation. Israel is a nation of God. I mean, she will not fully fulfill her call until in the millennium kingdom, where Israel, one of the call of Israel is, Israel will teach the nations how to run a nation in accordance to the way of God. She's not doing very well right now, but in the millennium kingdom, guess which nation we will learn from? Israel. We will learn from Israel how to run a nation in accordance to the way of God. Israel is called a nation. That's why she has a land. And God promised her a land. And it's a very big piece of land. I mean, it's important for us so that, at the moment right now, I also don't know how to pray. Because you want to pray for Israel to possess the whole land, you got to kick out. Yeah, now they kick out Palestinians. Got to kick out Jordanian. Got to kick out Iraq too. Because if you read, and certain part of Egypt, and go all the way to certain part of Syria. Because if you read Deuteronomy, because before Moses died, God asked Moses to go up to the mountain to take a look. Say, look to the north, look to the north, south, look to the east. Of course, you need to look to the west. West is the Mediterranean Sea. Look, as far as you can see, these are your land. Just give you one example. Moses looked all the way. I don't know how he see, man. I mean, his eyesight must be really good. The Bible says Moses looked as far as Euphrates river. You know where's Euphrates River?
Iraq.
Baghdad. You know how far it is? It's Israel. So the issue is not just we pray, but we have to stand with Israel. Even right now, we stand with her because the land belongs to her. I mean, politically, it's not a right answer, but in accordance to the heart of God, the land belongs to Israel. Because God promised that when He restores Israel, He will restore her back to the land. Not just back to the land, He will also restore her spiritually. That's Ezekiel chapter 36. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. Where God promised true restoration to the nation of Israel. I mean, Israel returning back to the land right now is not a coincidence. It's the miracle of God. It's the prophecy in the Bible. That's why a lot of theologians was awed by it when it come to pass. Because before 1948, many people read the scripture. Whenever mentioned about Israel back to the land, it does not make sense at all because they don't understand at all. That's why now we are more blessed because every time we read about Israel back to the land, we have a picture to tie on to. But the believers before 1948, they have no clue. That's why they came out with this theory called the replacement theory. Because if Israel is not back to the land, then he has to be the church. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. And God said, I mean, you know, one of the things about Israel is to prove that God is faithful to His word. That's why when you look at Israel, you can trust God. Because God says in many scriptures in the Old Testament, I will bring you back. And Israel is back. If He can bring a nation which has splitted up for about 2,000 years back to the land again and restore the Jewish language again, your problem and my problem is small things for God. And we can know that God is faithful and He's true and He's real. See, that's the issue between the Jew, Israel, and the Arab nations. You know what's the issue? The issue is, if there's Israel, the God of Jehovah is true. If there's no Israel, the God of Arab is true. And because there's Israel, the God of Arab is not true, and God of Israel, which is a Jehovah God, which is a Christian God, is true. That is the issue about Israel. Is the issue of God using Israel as a signpost. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. Turn to it and read. This is such a huge... This is one of the prophecy in the Bible has already been fulfilled. You know, Bible has about 400 over prophecies. 400 over prophecies. Hey, sorry, 700 over prophecies. I want to talk about... I kind of confused. Bible has 700 over prophecies. About close to 80% of the prophecy has come to pass. And one of the prophecies is Israel returning to the land. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. For I will take... Verse 24 talks about restoration to the land. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all country, and bring you into your own land. Wow, what a powerful prophecy that has been fulfilled. God says, I will bring you back from all over the nation, which is what happened in 1948. The Jewish people came from all over the world. Now they are still coming back from all over the world. They are. I mean, this is fulfilled, but not in totality yet. Second, spiritual restoration. Verse 25, which God is going to do, because right now, Israel, the nation of Israel, is actually the most carnal nation you can find on the surface of the earth. Really, right now. There are three kinds of Jew right now. Orthodox Jew, that means they are into Judaism, they are hardcore, man. they are hardcore. That means Sabbath, they really cannot. I think some of them can't even drive for more than 1.5 miles or 1.6 miles. As if God is concerned about the car. The car needs Sabbath too. Yeah, they can't. They can't walk more than 1.6 miles. Right, 1.6 miles, right, about there. They can't drive more than 1.6 miles. They are that hardcore. There are three kinds of Jewish people around the world right now. The Orthodox Jews, the Messianic Jews, which actually is still very little right now. They talk about 4,000. 4,000 compared to about 6 million Jewish people worldwide. That's not a lot. Of course, the huge part of it are secular Jews who are not saved. But God will sprinkle water on their heart so that they will see. And one of the promises of God in the Bible is ultimately all Israel will be saved. That means Jewish people around the world will be 100% saved. Wow. Verse 25. That's why we got to keep praying. Verse 25. For I will take you from... verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you. I know I used to use this verse and do ministry. But in principle, we can. But in context, it's applying specifically to the nation of Israel, that God will remove away every filthiness, every hardness of heart. That's why the Bible says He will take away the heart of stone and give the heart of the flesh. I have a friend who worked in Israel. Say, the Bible is really true. The Jewish people are stiff-necked and hard. That's why God had to take that heart of stone out of them and give them heart of the flesh. That's what this verse is about. God will restore her. Verse 25, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Yeah, Israel is an idolatry. Verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Listen to verse 27. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgment and do them. Verse 28. You know, there's a condition that Israel will possess her own whole land totally and peaceful if she returned to the Messiah. That's why verse 28 say this. Then you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers. You shall be my people. I will be your God. There are two restoration of the nation of Israel. That's why when we talk about praying for Israel, we are praying more than just salvation, about the land too, that we want the Jewish people to return to their land. And also, we need to stand for her. Whenever issue crops up about Israel does not belong to that land, we as the people of God, we have to stand with her. Because it's not a political issue. It's a God issue. God wants her to be there. That's why I appreciate this ministry so much. This ministry is called International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem. The reason why they were there is back in the 70s, Israel went, or rather the Arab attacked Israel in the Six Days War. And Israel, by the grace of God, conquered many land. And many nations around the world begin to withdraw diplomatic relationship with Israel. There's a group of believers headed by this guy called Malcolm Hastings. They say, we as the people of God, we need to stand with her. And that's why they went to approach the foreign minister of the nation of Israel, say, can we believer come and set up an embassy? I mean, church is not a country, but they want to represent a group of people who will stand with Israel in the time of crisis. They say, can we come and set up an embassy? We represent the kingdom people. And it's called International ICEJ, International Christians Embassy in Jerusalem. We have to stand with Israel. Of course, I'm not talking about standing with Israel. I'm not talking about being blind about everything, because there are some things that the nation of Israel did is wrong. That's where we need to speak out. But we have to stand with her, by and large, recognizing that the land is given by God to her. She rightfully owned the land. Turn with me to Romans 11. Go and run through Romans chapter 11. I'm just painting you the context. Because there's so much for us to understand about the nation of Israel. That's why Paul called it the mystery. The mystery of Israel. We've got to pray that God grant us revelation and understanding so that we can pray correctly. Romans chapter 11, verse 1 to 5. I'm going to go verse by verse, but let me give you a bigger picture, so a simple outline so they understand. Romans chapter 11, verse 1 to 5. Paul is addressing the issue of current rejection of Israel, where he said that just the issue of the rejection of Israel is not total. This is so important for us to know, because we can assume that right now, before Jesus come back, Israel is rejected. We don't have to spend time preaching the gospel to her. But that's where Paul comes in and says, hey guys, I want you to recognize this. There are two issues Paul is addressing about the rejection. One is, rejection is not total. Two is, rejection is not final. Here, he's addressing the issue is that, hey, I want you all to recognize the rejection of Israel is not total. God, by the grace of God, there will still be a remnant of the Jewish people being saved. This is important for us to understand, because the implication is this means we have to continue to pray for the salvation. Because salvation is, because we can assume, oh, do I have to pray? By the grace of God, it will happen. But this is huge, because the implication is we have to continue to pray for the salvation of Israel, as well as preaching the gospel to the Jewish people. Let's go to Romans 11, verse 1. Romans 11, verse 1. I say then, because the question has popped up, oh, now Israel is totally rejected. For a moment right now, the plan of God for salvation will not be the plan of Israel. That's why Paul said, no, certainly not. He said, verse 1, I say then, has God cast away his people? That means, has God at the moment right now shall Israel aside pertaining to gospel, to the salvation? Paul's answer is certainly not. No, the rejection of Israel is not total. Not total. Total that means completely. Later he's talking about final, that means God has totally wiped out Israel. Israel is being replaced by the church. He's addressing this issue next. Here is not total. That's why he gives himself as an example. That's why he says this. His reply is this. Look at me. I am the testimony. I myself is a Jew. I'm saved. And there will be a remnant. He said this, verse 1. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, look at me. I am the testimony that God's rejection for Israel is not total. The fact that I'm a Jew, I'm saved, it means that God still wants the gospel being preached to the Jewish people. Say, don't give up praying for them. Don't give up preaching the gospel to them. Preach to them. Hopefully, some may be saved. That's where, from verse 2 to verse 5, Paul used Elijah as an illustration. Remember Elijah? He was being confronted by, what's the lady's name? A lady. Okay, the queen of King Ahab, Jezebel, was confronted by Jezebel. He ran to the mountain and hide. He was so scared. He cried out to God, God, is there any prophet left? Am I the only one left? Paul used the illustration to tell, to teach a Gentile nation, no, there will be remnant that's being saved. That's where God replied, say that, Elijah, there are another 7,000. You are not the only one. Basically, Paul is saying that the rejection of Israel currently is not total. There will be remnant. God will keep some remnant. Okay, when I go to the book of Revelation, I'll tell you why God will keep some remnant. But the implication for us right now is this. Not just praying for the salvation of Israel, we have to bring the gospel to the Jewish people. Verse 2. Let me just read through verse 2. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. See, no, God has not cast away them. He still, by his grace, he wants his people to be saved. Again, we need to separate the issue of election and salvation. See, if we mix this whole thing together, say, oh, currently the election of Israel is being shelved. So we don't care about the salvation. It's a separate issue. That's why Paul is trying to say, it's a separate issue. As a nation, they are being rejected. But individually, God wants them to be saved. That's why they are throughout the history of the church, there are always Jewish people being saved. Even though it's not a lot. But right now, of course, there are a surge, an increase of Jewish people being saved. They are called the Messianic Jews. But more and more, there will be more. But the issue is this, that it's not total. God wants a remnant of people to be saved. He said, God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture, that's where he brings out Elijah as an example, as an illustration, the struggle of Elijah with Queen Jezebel. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel, saying, "Oh Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn away your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life." But verse 4, it's the same. Paul says, what does God say? It's the same. God says this, "I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed down their knees to Baal." And that's where Paul brings across the issue in verse 5. Verse 5, about there is a remnant of Israel that will be saved, and I am one of them. So continue to pray for them. Continue to bring the gospel to the Jew. Verse 5. "Even so then, at this present time, there is," if you want to underline the word, "a remnant. There is a remnant according to the election of grace." Paul said, there is a remnant. There is a remnant. Oh, Gentile church, bring the gospel to the Jewish people. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. That's what Paul addressed in chapter 10. Remember? He said that, how can the Jewish people call on God if they have not believed? How can they believe if they have not heard of the gospel? How can they hear of the gospel unless the preacher is being saved? That's what Paul is talking about here. There is a remnant. There is a remnant. Then verse 7 to verse 6, Paul again talk about the election. Election is by grace. It's an issue of election. Okay, let me just read verse 6. Now I'm going to go to verse 6 and verse 7. It's an issue of election by grace. "And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace, but if it is of work, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work." He basically brings an issue of reminding the people, it's an issue of grace. It's an issue of grace. As much as by grace, God has chosen the nation of Israel, and also by the sovereignty, God has currently rejected the nation of Israel. But again, it's by the grace of God, God has kept a remnant of the Jewish people to the gospel. That's why if you read some other passages about Israel, Paul actually mentioned, I think it's in the book of Galatians, Paul actually mentioned this, if it's not because of the grace of God, Israel will be like Sodom and Gomorrah, totally wiped out. But by the grace of God. Romans 11, verse 8 to 15. Now Paul explained the first aspect of the mystery of Israel. Because the whole chapter 11 of Romans, Paul is trying to address the restoration of Israel, as well as also highlight to the Gentile church concerning the mystery of Israel. Romans 11, verse 8 to 11. Paul is explaining the very first aspect of the mystery of Israel. The first aspect, which he talks about the blindness of Israel. Of course, I teach over the last few Fridays. Israel is being rejected. She's blind to the gospel because of two reasons. One is herself, because of her self-righteousness, because of her cockiness, she doesn't feel that she needs salvation. But here, Paul brings out another reason. That's why it's called a mystery.